I don't know why we're going to do that, because it won't make any difference whatsoever. Yeah, the other one's the offering. There is an offering container at the back there, because churches need money to run. This is a hard sermon to preach. This is not an easy sermon. So, 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble and to the oppressed. Some of the older versions will say gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I don't think we like the idea of having to humble ourselves. I'm not really sure this is a thought that we like. It's not a problem for me. I am incredibly humble. I am the most humble person that I know. In fact, I am very proud of my humility. If you look, right, for those of you that don't know me, that was a joke. You will discover that James says almost exactly the same thing. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, that he will lift you up. If you look at the surrounding verses, they're also very similar. They talk about the same kind of things. They talk about resisting the enemy. And both passages quote Proverbs 3, verse 34. He mocks the proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. I don't think that James is copying Peter. I don't think that Peter is copying James. I don't think this is a plagiarism issue. I think that this was probably something that was frequently said in the early church. I think it's a saying that both of them are picked up on. You know, we have sayings in church. You know, we have things that we repeat all the time. God is good. That was too slow. And I rather suspect that this was one of those. Humble yourself before the Lord, that he may lift you up. Humble yourself before the Lord. Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated, says the Lord. You got any friends? Anybody with friends? Yeah, one person here has friends. We're doing well. That's two. I see that. And two people. That's good. We've got friends. What is it that makes you like one person and not another? What is it that attracts you to somebody as a friend? I mean, maybe it's physical. Maybe it's because they look incredibly good. That's why I have so many friends. Can you stop laughing now? Maybe it's because they're wealthy. Maybe it's because they drive an Aston Martin. But more likely, it's to do with their personality. And there are attributes that God likes, and there are attributes that God does not like. Make a list. Turns out that God likes generous people. It turns out that God likes caring people. It turns out that God likes obedient people. And those who understand what righteousness means. And according to this verse, God likes humble people. He favors humble people. He's not worried about your looks. He's not worried about what you're wearing. He's not worried about your wealth. Those things don't impress God. According to this verse, humility is something that God can reward. And it's something that God will reward, just like generosity is something that God will reward. Pride does the opposite. It cuts you off from God. It distances you. It puts you in a position of opposition to God. So which side would you rather be? Which side of that line would you rather be? Would you rather be on the opposition side, or would you rather be on the favor side? Anger, resentment, stinginess, unforgiveness put us on the wrong side of that line. And the problem is not only that when I'm proud, God opposes me. The problem is that when I'm proud, I oppose God, because I think I don't need him. I think I'm good enough all by myself. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not. The other reason that I think this was probably a core teaching in the early church, something that got repeated often, is because it's very close to something that Jesus said. He said, all those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. You will find that in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says that twice. Again, it was something he said on a regular basis. The first time is in this context. He says, when somebody invites you to a meal, a big meal, you know, a banquet kind of a meal, don't take the best place. Don't go and sit right next to the host. Don't go to the top table. Go to the bottom place. Go to the place that's furthest away. Go to the place where the ordinary people are sitting. And God says, Jesus says, when the host sees you sitting at the bottom, they'll think you don't belong there. And they'll lift you up to the top table. I am 60-something. I've forgotten exactly what. In my entire life, that has never happened to me. Nobody has ever noticed me sitting in the wrong place and said, Ray, come up higher. It is very unlikely that it will ever happen. It is very unlikely it will ever happen to you. In fact, the closest I ever came to this was back in Jerusalem, and our building was being used as a book launch for a fairly well-known author. And I'm standing there at one end of the pew, because it was an old building and we had pews, and the guy is at the other end of the pew at a table signing copies of his book. And in walks my friend. And he's got with him, he's from Oklahoma, he's a big guy, and he's got this broad American accent. That actually wasn't bad, was it? And he's got with him a couple of wealthy investors who are putting money into missions. And he says to them, there's someone here I'd like you guys to meet. And the author puts down his pen and looks up, and Rick says, meet Ray. Just one of those moments. Jesus' teaching here is an example. He's not talking about food. He's not talking about being a guest. He's talking about family and work and church. And he's not doing this. He's doing this. He's saying that in your life, there needs to be humility. And he says that when you're humble, he will lift you up. Trust me, nobody else will. If you're expecting those around to notice your humility and lift you up, you will be waiting a long time. But in the end, it's not other people that you've got to impress. It's God that you've got to impress. And he's the one who will lift you up. In fact, this is his desire, bring favor into your life. There is a famous Churchill quote. I know not everybody here likes Churchill. In Parliament, somebody was commenting on another MP and saying what a humble person they were. To which Churchill responded, "Yes, but they have so much to be humble about." That's not the point. It's not other people, it's God. So both Peter and James say two things in this passage. They say, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Clothe, that means put on like a robe. I need to be humble in the way that I act towards you. You need to be humble in the way that you act towards me, because this pleases God, and this receives a reward from him. And as we go on, we'll look at some of this. But what really stands out to me in this passage, humble yourself before the Lord. It's God you've got to be humble before. And what does that mean? What does it mean to humble yourself before God? King David wrote this psalm. It's Psalm 131. My heart is not proud. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This is David. This is the great King David. This is, one of the top sort of five figures in the Bible. And I don't concern myself with, I don't push myself forward. I don't think I'm better than I am. I've made sure my heart is not proud before the Lord. Lord, you're the one that's in charge. You're the boss. And I rely on you for everything. And I can do nothing without you. I need you. I trust you. So I'm going to listen for your voice, and I'm going to ask for your help. And I'm going to do your thing, not my thing. And I'm going to look at Jesus and not at me. And I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to rush. You're the Lord. You're the servant. I'm the child. So I'm going to calm myself before you. I'm going to be content with what you give me. And I'm going to be at peace. I'm going to trust. You are Almighty God. To you is the glory, to you is the honor. This is the mighty King David speaking. I'm a servant, he says. I'm like a child with my mother. Now, there's no false humility here. God has given each one of us sitting in this room, obviously only us, nobody else. Second service don't get this. God has given us amazing talents. And there are people that can do incredible things here, incredible abilities. There are great things that God is doing in us, and there are great things that God is doing through us. And God has given us an amazing position. We are children of God, and we are chosen, and we are saved, and we are kings and princes. But everything I have comes from him. He gave it to me. So when I boast about how I'm better than somebody else, I'm kind of forgetting that actually it was God, not me. And the irony is that when I use the talents that God has given me and I use them to glorify him, that's actually an act of worship. So when we talk about being humble here, we're not talking about doing nothing. We're not talking about not aspiring for great things. We're not talking about not doing great things for God. We're talking about an attitude that says, this is God, not me. Everything I do, God gave me breath. God put his spirit in me, so I honor God. I glorify him. God is everything. I am nothing. And because God is everything and I am nothing, I am everything. I understand that in a business environment and at work, this can be difficult because there's an expectation that you're going to push yourself forward. There's an expectation that you're going to blow your own trumpet, that you're going to make more of your abilities in order to get ahead, in order that other people will respect you. And in a workplace, it's a challenge to be humble. Build your reputation on what you do, not on what you claim. Build your reputation on the compassion that you have for others. Build your reputation on what others can see in your life that God has put there, on your strength of character, on your honesty. God is everything. I am nothing. So as Paul says, when I'm nothing, I'm everything. And when I'm weak, I'm strong. And as Gayatri quoted last week, John the Baptist, he must increase and I must decrease. And when I surrender, I find great blessing and great reward. Nebuchadnezzar, standing on top of his palace roof, looks out across the city of Babylon. Famous hanging gardens. Truly magnificent city. Is this not great Babylon that I have built for my mighty power, for the glory of my majesty? The voice from heaven. Your authority is taken away from you. And Nebuchadnezzar has a breakdown. He loses his rational thought. He collapses. He becomes like an animal. He lives in the field. He eats grass. Yum. He's bathed in the dew of the morning, and he lives away from people. He loses it all until the moment when he acknowledges, well, the only thing that was wrong with that sentence was there were too many mys and too many eyes, until he recognizes that actually God is the Most High, and he honors and he glorifies God who lives forever, the Lord who is sovereign. You'll find that in Daniel chapter 4. Now, he wasn't wrong. Babylon was amazing. And he wasn't wrong. It was his work. It was him that had achieved this. The problem is, he just didn't want to give glory to God. He didn't recognize that behind his ability was God's ability. And we still do this. Look at my amazing church. Look at my amazing ministry. Look at all the things I have done. Look at my incredible family. Look at my wealth. Look at my influence. Look at my role. Look at my work. Look at my ability. I am the best, the fastest, the strongest, at least compared with you. I am the best. Jesus is everything. Jesus is everything. And if there's any praise, it's his. And you only have to switch on YouTube to discover that the spirit of Nebuchadnezzar is live and well in the church today. We all want to claim how brilliant we are. Don't let that spirit be in you. Pride comes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Anything good in my life, it's Jesus. But he's the one that gets the honor, and he's the one that gets the glory. And that's not about making public statements and trying to sort of Jesus wash some of our attitudes. That's about the things that you say inside your internal dialogue. When you've had that good day, when everything's gone really well, when at work you've succeeded and you've got the promotion, and you just quietly look and you say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. It's not me. It's you. Pride is one of those attitudes of the heart. It's a sin of the thought life. I'm better than you. I know more than you. It's invisible. It hides. Sometimes it even hides from ourselves. It's seen in your actions. Sometimes it's seen on the look of your face. Augustine, writing in the 4th century, possibly influenced by the passages we're looking at today, described pride as the ultimate sin. Everything else that goes wrong in our lives comes from pride. And when you think about it, if I steal from you, Facebook, really? If I steal from Boa, what I'm saying is I need this phone more than she does. I'm more important than she is. You can see that behind theft is pride. And it's not hard to realize, did you want your phone back? Yeah, I can see. You notice in the video of the youth, everybody on their phones? Did you notice all the youth leaders on their phones? Yeah, right. Every now and then when I was teaching in class, you'd find someone on their phone. And they'd say, oh, no, we're doing research, we're doing research. And somebody came up to me a couple of years after that and said, actually, Pastor, we were all on Facebook. Like I didn't know that. When you murder someone, you murder somebody because they're a challenge to who you are, some way. They're a challenge to your self-esteem. It's one of those sins that creates other sins. And according to the Bible, it's the sin that caused Satan to fall from heaven. Because he looked at God and he said, God, you're wrong. I know better than you. And it led to his fall. How could it not lead to his fall? How could it not lead to your fall? Pride is the opposite of grace. Grace says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, through Christ who gives me strength. Pride says, I can do all things through my strength, my wisdom, my experience. I think I prefer the first version. Psalm 10 verse 4 says, in his pride the wicked does not seek God. In all his thoughts there is no room for God. It's something that keeps people away from God. I don't need God. I'm good enough by myself. I'm just as good as everybody else. Pride opposes grace. Pride cuts yourself off from God. Pride disrupts forgiveness. So we accept God and we surrender to him in humility. The older I get, I don't think I can get too much older. There must be an upper limit somewhere, right? The older I get, the more I know myself, the better I do things, the more experience I get, the more I realize I need Jesus in my life. The first time Jesus says, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted," is the meal context. Second time he says it is in context of the Pharisees, who wanted everybody to know just how good they were, and who would stand on the place on the street where everybody could see them so that their righteousness could be seen, who made their phylacteries wide and their tefillot large, and wanted everybody to know how good they were. Don't be like that. Be humble. You won't deceive anybody, because the truth of the matter is, people actually don't like pride people. People don't like proud people. People who are full of themselves. People who can only see themselves. Who always think they're right. Who always think they're better. Who are the center of their own universe. God favors the humble. He will bring blessing into your life. He will reward you. Jesus said, "I am gentle and humble in heart." And if that's who Jesus is, that's who I should be too. Now, humility is not putting yourself down. If you've got talents, be grateful you've got talents. Not being a doormat and letting everybody else walk over you. It's not doing the Charles Dickens. Any Dickens fans here today? I must admit, I hate Charles Dickens with a passion. Too much of it in school. Uriah Heep. "I am ever so humble. I am so humble." And everything in his life shows he's full of pride. Think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith that God has given to you. Think of yourself realistically. That means don't think of yourself higher than you should be. It also means don't think of yourself lower than you should be. There is true humility in that. So humble yourself. Put God in the right place in your life. Moses writes that he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. There's a little bit of a problem with that, but we won't go into that now. Obviously, that was somebody writing about him, not Moses himself. The rabbis believe it was Moses himself and that God made him write it, even though he didn't want to. He spoke to God face to face, and yet he was humble. In fact, maybe it was because he spoke with God face to face that he was humble. Because when you recognize the greatness and the power and the beauty of God, how can you be anything but humble? Diotrephes in John chapter, in 3 John, says of him, he likes to be first. But be completely humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Bearing with each other in love. Being humble, it means relying on God, not yourself. Skipping a bit here. Why am I preaching this? This isn't a verse I wanted to preach. Nobody wants to preach on humility. You want to preach on other things. So why am I preaching on it? Because it's been burning in my heart all week. And maybe that's because there are people here today that are proud and don't realize it. Worth a try. Maybe it's because some of us have got trapped in the bad idea of humility, in wrong ideas of humility. and thinking that means we have to push ourselves down and let everybody else walk over us. More likely, it's that God is about to do something incredible in your life. And when he does, you're going to need to remember to give glory to him. Maybe it's simply that God wants to bring blessing and reward to your life. So humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Lord, help us in everything we do. Place you at the center. And for everything good in our lives, to give thanks. And for every success, to give you glory. Lord, that we might know your favor in our lives. That we might live in your light. In Jesus' name. Amen.